Hey everyone, welcome to Culture Time. I'm Hemel Jaberi with co-host Brian Nicker.
Hello, listeners. We have come a long, long way together.
This
season of Culture Time.
I feel like it has been an incredible journey. It's season two of Culture Time, our all Keanu Reeves season, and it is wrapping up.
I was a different man when we began this podcast journey.
Can you remember all the way back to episode one?
It was at least 7 years ago, it seems like.
What?
The world was a different place. The country was a different place.
What naive, weird, wide-eyed children we were before we undertook this journey into Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, and here we are. And listeners, you have taken this journey with us. The hundreds of thousands of you out there who write us letters, who send us messages, who have been so enjoying this journey into the dark quotidian heart of America via the oeuvre of one Mr. Keanu Reeves. We have appreciated all of your support. And we know that you, too, have changed and grown with us.
Brian, let us go all the way back to episode one.
Yes, let us. Because you said we should do another season of the Culture Time podcast, which you created, but I want to focus just on the movies of Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
And I said, that is a stupid idea. Let's do something better. And we tried something else, and it was no good. I was like, well, I don't have any better ideas. Let's do your weird Keanu Reeves thing. I have since come to believe that it was a deeply insightful decision on your part. But it took me a long time to understand why.
I'm not sure I actually understand why.
You're just working on an instinct here.
I'm not working on an instinct. It was very calculated, actually, which is that people like podcasts about weird stuff. But when we started our first episode, it was Point Break. And I remember that there was a lot of ambiguity. We weren't really sure what we were actually going to get out of our Keanu Reeves season.
Yes, it took me until about episode 3 or 4 to even understand that there was something here.
That we had stuff to get out of it. So that's where we started. And in episode 10, I feel like we've come an incredibly long way.
You, Keanu, and I together have journeyed across a vast and arid landscape of the American culture to arrive here at this place of enlightenment.
As have our listeners.
As have our many listeners.
Come on this lovely journey with us. So we started from a place of not really knowing a lot about Keanu Reeves, possibly not really having examined so much. What have we learned?
I took the liberty, if you will, of jotting down what I think were our 5 key findings from our investigation, our interrogation of Keanu Reeves' film Oeuvre. Number one, we have determined that the key strengths of Keanu Reeves as an actor are unflappability, likability, and hair.
I agree with all of those.
So Keanu's key strengths, as we have discussed, to you, why are those Keanu's strengths as an actor, as an artist, as a performer?
Oh, I think that's one for the ages. I'm not really sure that we can nail down why it is that he's a actor that invites empathy. And not all actors do that. And that is a very, it's not something that you can define very easily.
Yeah, that's
right?
His likability. He has a natural charisma.
He has a natural...
He doesn't convey through words or even actions. You just root for him.
That there's just something in his face that kind of invites a little bit of empathy. The hair portion of your question is he's just been given great hair.
He's got great hair. He's just a genetically gifted hair man.
And again, he uses that to his advantage in pretty much all the... When roles are very successful for him, a lot of that has to do with his hair.
Yes, a point you have made that I find to be deeply wise is that in his strongest roles, his hair is conveying a great deal about the character.
That's true.
Now, really, we should probably, as you have pointed out once before, congratulate the hair designers or whoever does that in a movie, rather than Keanu himself. But we don't know who they are, so we must congratulate him.
That's true. We don't know who all the hair designers are, but they have noticed that Keanu has great hair, and it is a tool that he works with.
Number two. Keanu Reeves is a very physical actor. His strongest moments are when he is doing something or moving or jumping or fighting or kung-fuing or car chasing.
That is something that we've actually come around to. We noticed it in Point Break, but it makes itself much clearer when you see him in roles that don't require him to be physical. And
he's not at his best.
No, the absence of him being able to use his body in a physical way really is a weakness.
But may I say, and this is one of the things I have learned on our journey together, initially, we made that observation pretty early on. And as you say, like in his sort of action movie roles, he's fun to watch. And then movies where he's not doing much on screen but talking and emoting, he's not so much fun to watch. And initially, we made that observation. And to me, it was not a put down necessarily, but it was like, well, he's not a great actor, but he's pretty good at moving around.
Yeah.
But we have come, and I think this is smart. And we talked about this just last week when we discussed
John Wick.
That we as a culture, as a people, really make a big ballyhoo of people's kind of emotional acting and method acting, and we kind of disrespect physical acting. It is an unheralded thing. As you said, there is no Oscar for stunt work, but there should be, and Keanu Reeves is the master of that kind of acting.
I agree. I think that we were very high culture, low culture about it, right?
Yes, you're right.
There very much is a low brownness associated with action films and physical acting and the kind of work done there. And it's easily dismissed, even though it requires just as much effort as...
Just as much commitment, if not more.
If not more. You're putting your body on the line.
Yeah, where it's like, you know, oh, the rubes love it. Let's crack open a PBR and sit on the back porch and, you know, in a warm child swimming pool and shoot at rats with our pellet gun. But as you say, that is deeply unfair.
But we learned. We have examined our prejudices,
and
we have come around to it.
We have the thing that Keanu Reeves does that lots of actors do not do well... should be more highly praised and more highly respected. He does kung fu, and he means it. Number three, Keanu Reeves seems like a decent fella.
His personal life, and this I think has a lot to do with him as an artist as well, which is that in the 90s, he started to become an actor via the same kind of mixed up childhood that a lot of people have, apparently, but suffered some pretty... intense setbacks, right? River Phoenix dies, and they were really good friends, very close. And then after that, he was dating somebody, and she got pregnant, and then they lost the baby. And this all happens very quickly.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so this all happens very quickly. So, and then they lost the baby, and then I think they broke up, and then she died in a car accident. And then his sister got leukemia. So there's this like very...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't know all this.
You didn't know this?
No, I had no idea. He had this... he had been faced with so many struggles.
He had this like very tragic period that I think influenced a lot of Keanu Reeves. I'm surprised it hasn't actually come up.
So one thing I think that we have talked about a lot that, you know, I think reinforces that he seems like a truly decent fella is that like in his work... he seeks to elevate other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned River Phoenix, and we talked about when we watched My Own Private Idaho that Gus Van Sant really wanted River Phoenix for this role, and Keanu was friends with him and undertook an epic motorcycle journey across the continents to get River Phoenix on board with this movie. And when he made Man of Tai Chi, he wanted to make this action kung fu film just to highlight this skinny, funny-looking Chinese guy that he had so much respect for doing the fight choreography in The Matrix.
And when he works on John Wick, the director is a stunt double for The Matrix.
Who the studios did not want to direct the movie, but Keanu's like, these are the guys to direct the movie.
Right.
This is the guy.
He's very much has his own vision, and he keeps coming back to the people that he's worked with. You haven't seen John Wick 2 yet, but Lawrence Fishburne is in John Wick 2, and that's not an accident. That's Keanu being like, we're bringing the band back together.
Yeah, like he seems like he genuinely wants to, like, yeah, he thinks there's a value in what these people do, and he puts his, you know, he's got significant leverage and star power, and he puts that behind things that you might not expect him to do it.
Well, also, the other detail that comes out is... That he did not take any money for the Matrix, the third Matrix movie, is because they were so over budget and the crew had to be paid. And so his salary went to the salaries of the crew.
I didn't know that.
See?
Good on him.
Like,
and has made, I believe, 9 movies with female filmmakers.
Yes!
Which is probably really hard to do, given how few women are allowed to direct and, you know, produce movies.
Yes, and Catherine Bigelow, when she made Point Break, like, specifically wanted Keanu Reeves.
I want Bill or Ted, whichever one he was, for this movie.
There is a lot of that carries through all of his performances. We never watch films in a vacuum. You can't divorce yourself from the context of the actors. Like, it's very hard to watch Lethal Weapon now because Mel Gibson is a jerk.
Right.
And Keanu carries the baggage of his personal life into his roles, but thankfully he seems like a really nice guy.
And the fact that we don't, like, for about some, you know, I don't knock people, but a lot of, you know, something you learn in the nonprofit world where everyone has a celebrity spokesperson, a lot of them aren't actually doing all these things out of the goodness of their hearts all the time. Some of them are, not all of them. But a lot of times when you hear about a movie star, famous person doing this, that, or the other, you heard about it because there was a PR machine behind their doing of it.
Yeah.
But you don't hear about this. Like, he's not doing, I didn't even know half the things you just said, because he's clearly not trying to actively throw a parade for himself all the time.
No, his sister is diagnosed with leukemia, and he has apparently given tons and tons and tons of money to cancer research because his sister lived, but he's very aware of the fact that a lot of people don't.
So the rare, genuinely decent fella at working at his level of fame and adulation.
There also is the sad Keanu meme. Are you aware of that?
I've seen the sad Keanu. You know, people always act like I don't understand the internet. I don't know what kind of vibe I give off. I'll use like a phrase at work and people are like, who taught you that, Grandpa?
I'm just saying, I don't know how into meme culture you are.
You cannot be into meme culture. It's all around the place.
But part of it that makes him really accessible is that he went through this phase where he had disappeared for a while. It was post-Matrix. No one really knew if he was doing anything.
Twice. He had a Keanu Sans and then the second coming of Keanu.
And then the first time people saw him was just sitting on a bench looking sad, eating a sandwich.
And, you know, I don't know that we would have, that might not have become a meme with another actor, someone who had a different public persona.
Yeah, that was Ted Theodore Logan and Neo sitting on a bench eating a sandwich. But it endeared him to so many people because it's so human.
Number four, he is weird.
Yes.
As an artist, as a performer, as a cultural figure, you have said he does not play normal very well.
Yes, he's super weird. He doesn't do normal well, and that is so much a part of his appeal. This is something that I think we learned along with Keanu learning it, right? It was an acceptance.
Yes.
What
is he good at?
Right. He tried to fit into the Hollywood system and took the roles in the traditional romantic comedies and all these other action films, I think. And none of it really worked because they were not natural fits for his natural talents.
As you have so often said, Keanu cannot be made to fit the film. The film must be made to fit Keanu.
That's, I think, one of the biggest takeaways here. And yes, it's his weirdness. He grew up. He learned to let his weirdness shine and stop trying to, like, you know, fit into other people's expectations.
You know, we watched The Lake House at one point, which is a terrible garbage film. But I was glad that we watched it because in discussing it, we realized that here was Keanu playing a role that could have been, you know, any Hollywood guy could have done it. It was not a particularly interesting role. He wasn't asked to do any of the things he's good at. And he doesn't really shine in the role. But what we realized in talking about that was that he rejects this traditional leading man corporate Hollywood schlock at a fundamental level. He doesn't want to do it, maybe. He can't do it. And that is one of the reasons we are drawn to him. We're like, look, that garbage we're constantly being fed, he's terrible at it. And we love that about him.
Yes, in his core, like on a cellular level, he understands this is corporate drivel. I can't believe that I'm forcing myself to do this.
Yeah, this is no good for anybody.
No.
I'm going to do it poorly.
That being said, I like The Lake House. Yeah, I thought it was great.
It's a real sticking point for our podcast. But I do believe that we have seen him, and we, fortunately for us, did not force ourselves to watch all these films. But he's done a lot of sort of traditional Kevin Costner-y, romantic leading man kind of roles to very little success.
So I will never appreciate Keanu Reeves in another romantic role after Sweet November.
I want to watch that one because you really hate it.
I hate it a lot.
On to number five. This is the most significant. Keanu Reeves believes in saying something with his work. In his best roles, it seems like he really is trying, as an artist, to put something new into the world. I think, like, The Matrix to me is the best example of this. But one movie we watched, which is kind of a lesser work of his, is Man of Tai Chi, his directorial debut. A movie that would not have been made were it not for him. It's like a perfectly satisfactory semi-low budget B movie. It was obviously a labor of love. He wanted to make this kung fu movie. There were these kung fu dudes. He wanted to see them do their thing. And he thought that that would be cool to do. And, like, there's a lot of integrity to that.
He is. He does have a lot of integrity. And he's worked himself into a position where he can make those decisions, right? He is at a stage in his career.
Yeah, he's got that star power to put behind whatever he wants to put
behind. And I love the fact that he's using it for things like Man of Tai Chi. He's using it for things like that weird documentary about celluloid, which is just literally, it's a documentary about film.
Yeah.
And there are these weird passion projects where he's not really concerned about the commercial viability, but he's more concerned about the artistic merit and potential behind them.
Yeah, and I feel like for a lot of people, you know, operating at that level or whose careers are like that, you probably feel like you can never step off of the, you know, the studio system merry-go-round. But he genuinely seems unconcerned. He was like, he'll make a giant blockbuster thing, and then he'll turn around and make some little thing that it doesn't seem like he's going to care if anyone sees it.
There's no snobbishness about Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Because Daniel Day-Lewis, right, is I'm going to play Lincoln and then I'm going to retire from acting.
He does retire on a regular basis.
He does, right? He retires
a
lot.
Seems a little precious. Fantastic actor.
Fantastic. But there's no snobbery to Keanu Reeves and the choices that he's making. He's not out here saying that, oh, my next project is going to be an Oscar winner. He's saying, no, I'm going to make John Wick 3 because me riding a horse swinging a katana is fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, and there's like, and again, not to pick on something, but like Quentin Tarantino, you know, makes a lot of movies. And people think highly of him, and I like his films too. But like, you can see the mind at work. You can see that he's saying like, this is a cool thing and I know about this cool thing and I'm going to quote or reference this cool or underground thing in my films. Keanu, you like, he like Kung Fu comes up a lot. Like, he just loves Kung Fu. He's so into it. He likes people that do it well. And I never get the sense that he's trying to impress or that he's like, look, I know all this like cool underground Kung Fu shit. He's just like, oh man, you guys, we're going to make a movie with some cool Kung Fu shit in it.
That's what's so likable about him.
Extremely.
Was that number five?
That was number five. I feel like those were the hard won and hard-earned lessons of our season-long interrogation of the Keanu Reeves oeuvre.
Moving on from that, do you like Keanu more or less since we started this project?
I definitely like him more. Like I said, I feel like I had no, you know, I knew who he was. I've seen him in his movies. I didn't have any particular affinity or particular disdain for him. He was just one of those guys who makes all the movies. But now, for the reasons we have enumerated, I have really grown to appreciate him.
I went through, I would say probably around episode 5 or 6, a little on the downward slope.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I feel like you brought a greater appreciation for him to the podcast in the first place. Did we knock that out of you by watching all these movies?
I think it had to do with oversaturation of Keanu.
I am sick to death of watching Keanu Reeves movies. I'll say that straight out.
I will say that I think part of it is the oversaturation factor. But I do like Keanu Reeves a lot more now because I think I'm much more forced to think about him in terms of the work that he does versus just his public persona and celebrity status.
Shout out here to my wife, Wendy, who has been forced to watch every single one of these movies, but does not get to podcast about them.
The true unsung hero of this podcast. So before kind of moving on to our overarching theme, I want to know, out of all of the movies that we have seen, which one was your favorite?
So for our listeners or someone who may be listening to the show for the first time with this episode, the Keanu Reeves movies we watched, correct me if I miss them here, are Point Break, Speed,
yes,
My Own Private Idaho, Hardball,
mm-hmm,
The Lake House,
mm-hmm,
Man of Tai Chi,
mm-hmm,
The Matrix,
mm-hmm,
and John Wick.
And Bill and Ted's Excellent
Adventure. How can I forget that one? So what do you think my favorite was of those films?
Well, I'm going to say that you can't pick The Matrix because
can't I pick The Matrix? It's so good. It's like the best movie ever.
I'm going to say it's The Matrix because you love The Matrix.
I will say, of that list, The Matrix I knew I was going to love because I already love it and I watched it a bunch of times and I loved it again. I would say the one I was most surprised to enjoy was Speed.
Okay.
Because I hadn't seen it in, you know, freaking 10, 15 years and just remembered it and like, oh, it was just a dumb action movie. And as you and I discussed, it's so good.
It's so good.
A white-knuckled thrill ride. Like every scene, you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? The bus is going to hit the thing. Great movie.
Okay.
What was your favorite of those nine films?
Well,
are you going to say The Lake House? Because I will, I will walk out of this podcast right now.
No. I'm not going to say The Lake House. I will say that, like you, I think my favorite coming into it was John Wick, because I loved John Wick so much.
You're a huge John Wick fan, which I was sort of surprised by the depth of your feeling for that good but slight film.
But the one that surprised me most was My Own Private Idaho. I remember thinking that it was going to be an okay film, and watching it again, I was stunned by how much I liked it and how good Keanu Reeves was in it.
I don't think we had a whole podcast about this. I won't rehash it. I don't even know that I enjoyed that movie, but I was glad to have watched it.
That's true. We had a whole podcast
about it. So, The Lake
House,
I would say to anyone, do not watch it. You will never get those 2 hours of your life back.
Well, I was going to ask you what your least favorite is, and I think it's The Lake House.
But My Own Private Idaho, I would say to someone who was asking me if they should watch it, I would say, I didn't enjoy it. You probably won't either, but it's worth watching.
What?
Least favorite, though, not The Lake House.
Okay.
The Lake House was dumb.
Oh, okay.
And it was a waste of time.
Okay.
But Hardball made me angry.
Yeah.
Hardball was just a terrible atrocity. What was your least favorite of the films we watched?
That's a very good question, and you're going to kill me, and I swear to God, I am not being, like, deliberately confrontational. I think it was The Matrix.
That's ridiculous.
I think it's...
That's a ridiculous thing to say.
The Lake House...
I'm always being deliberately confrontational at this point in the podcast. This is clickbait. This is just clickbait.
I think it's because, like, you think John Wick is a slight and fine film.
Yeah, I'm perfectly entertaining.
I was like, yeah, I understand all the reasons people love The Matrix, and I think he's very good at it, and it was life-changing and brought all these new ideas. I have no emotional connection with The Matrix whatsoever, and watching it for the second time, or, like, watching it again for this podcast, felt like a chore.
Not only did I watch The Matrix twice, back to back, two nights in a row for this podcast, I watched a non-homework Keanu movie, which was Matrix Reloaded, the night after we recorded The Matrix podcast. It was so good. It's a great, it's the most underrated.
Oh, Jesus. It's so bad.
No, it's really, people don't like that one for some reason. It's great.
It is, Jesus Christ. Now I understand.
The third one is bad.
No,
the third one is straight up bad.
Now I understand why you cannot wrap your head around John Wick and feel like it's so deliberately unreal. That's how I feel about The Matrix Reloaded, because that entire rave scene underground where they're like having a sex
underground
party.
Sex party city. Yeah.
I was like, I whatever else whatever else happens after this, I cannot take anything here seriously.
Well, that wasn't the best part of the movie or anything, but you know, if you live in an underground cave city, the robots are coming to get you, you have a sex party.
I think The Matrix was my least favorite to watch.
I'm startled by that admission.
Even the ones that I hated, I had this like visceral, like The Lake House is absurd, but I love it. Hardball had moments of charm because the kids were great. All right. All jokes aside, have we learned anything about American culture through the work of Keanu Reeves?
So we as a people, as a republic, are big fans of Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
He's had his ups, he's had his downs, but we keep coming back to him. Even within the nine movies we watched, more than half of them are beloved films. Like, people love them. So there's something there. What do you think? What did we learn about your American culture through the films of Keanu Reeves?
Keanu, in a lot of ways, embodies something very American. He has a individuality to him that people really connect with, but they also project a lot onto him, right? He is accessible in a way that a lot of other movie stars are not accessible. Your Tom Cruise's or your Chris Hemsworth's, right? Like, those people are movie stars.
Yes.
They are unattainable.
He's like his whole, like, you know, to pick, say, Chris Hemsworth, for example, who, you know, is good in the movies he's in. You get his whole life is he is a movie star.
He's a
said.
Movie
his
star.
His whole life is a performance. He's on social media and he's on the show, and you get the feeling that every interaction he's having that you're glimpsing has been crafted to achieve an end. But
yes.
With Keanu Reeves, I think is what you're saying, like, you don't get that sense at all. He's just doing his thing.
Well, there's a lot of authenticity, and a lot of authenticity because he's just not around, right? We live in the age of social media where everyone is constantly on Instagram and showing you the most intimate parts
no
of their knives.
Yeah, there are no official Keanu Reeves handles for like Instagram or Twitter or anything.
No, and the funny thing is that because the Instagram algorithm knows that I do a podcast about Keanu Reeves, my Explore tab keeps surfacing photos of Keanu Reeves, and they're all pictures of him looking like a homeless guy eating a sandwich. And that is hilarious because he just looks like a dude who is just trying to smoke a cigarette in peace.
So it sounds like what you're saying, and I think I agree with this, is that on some level, like we're constantly bombarded with produced and choreographed and manipulative stories and images and media. And what I think you're saying, and I agree with this, if this is what you're saying, is that on some level, even if it's not a conscious level, we do see that he is not entirely a creature of artifice. That like we sense that there is a real human being there mm-hmm. who is more like us than the A-list movie stars that we're constantly being spoon-fed are.
Yeah, there's definitely more authenticity there. What about his work, though? What do you think that says?
I think one thing we talked about is in his best work, and this, I think, is the thing that I most hope that Keanu's career and his work says about our American culture. The things that he's best in, like The Matrix, mm-hmm. Even though you did not enjoy watching it. But, you know, The Matrix is arguably his most popular movie. It's probably right. The thing most people would identify. In The Matrix, he is, not all by himself, but he is trying to do something, trying to show us something, to say, like, this isn't just about guns and kung fu, although those things are awesome and they're fun. This is about trying to tell you something. This is about putting an idea in your head. And I don't think a lot of, like, you know, and your sister loves Chris Evans, as does most of America. And he seems like he's a good-looking guy. He seems nice. He's affable. But he definitely seems like Chris Evans has been created for me to consume
right.
in a way that Keanu does not. And a lot of his movies aren't purely entertainment. They're about like, hey, I want to share this thing with you. And I feel like I would like to think that we respond well to him as a people because we sense that he is trying to do something of value. He is trying to project an idea to us.
I was nodding my head a lot because I agree with all of that. I think that there's very much that he actively resists kind of the commercialization. And that's very recent, actually. I'm not saying that that's been true throughout his entire career because there's plenty of times when he has done...
No, he was down in the trench doing exactly. a rom-com every few years there.
But part of his persona and kind of appeal now and the aura of Keanu Reeves is his rejection of being consumed, right? Of being like a packaged thing that you're invited to connect with very easily. Like
right.
like Chris Evans, I don't have anything against Chris Evans.
We love
I
Chris
think
Evans.
I
He's
think
a fine
that
fella.
He was really sweet to Regina King and he seems like a real gentleman. And also Pyle makes my meal, so I don't want to make her angry.
Pyle, if you're listening to this podcast, this is not an anti Chris Evans segment at all.
But that he does not have, he's like, Keanu Reeves is almost like the anti-Chris
yeah,
Evans.
Yeah, Chris Evans is completely packaged because that's how you become an A-list movie star today.
Right, and Keanu Reeves very much is not interested in being an A-list movie star.
And even though as you say, like, you know, it's impossible to rise to his position in the studio system without having done a bunch of schlocky crap. But I think as we see, the further along his career he gets and the more ability he has to do what he wants or elevate other people, the more he chooses to do it. Like, I would be
yes.
really surprised if today, like, he just had a movie and it bombed horribly. So it's not that he only makes terrific choices artistically or commercially, but I would be surprised if he made some, like, dumb, derivative, schlocky Hollywood thing tomorrow.
I don't know. I've heard that Replicas was pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's not bad. It's not about being, like, the Wachowskis, who I love.
Right.
They make all kinds of bad movies. People
yeah.
hate some of their movies, but they're not ever doing, like, Star Wars #9. They
yeah.
are trying to do something new, and they fail all the time.
Right.
And I feel like Keanu is very much in that camp. Like, he might make a bad movie,
right.
but he's not going to make a sellout, like, oh, it doesn't matter whether it's good or not, it's going to sell tickets.
The decisions that he makes are not decisions made on, I think this is going to make a lot of money.
We've really gone native on Keanu Reeves here. Like, he might just be sitting back in this gigantic pile of Hollywood gold being like, I'll make whatever piece of garbage you got. I don't care. Kung fu, romantic comedy, as long as I get to buy a 19th yacht. We have no way of knowing.
All right. I will ask you a final question as we begin to wrap.
Final question. This is it, everybody.
As we wrap up episode 10, season 2 of Culture Time, do you think that this season was a success?
I enjoyed it immensely.
All right. So,
do you think this was a success?
I do, too. I want to congratulate us for getting to the finish.
Congratulations to us for making 10 podcasts about Keanu Reeves that nobody listened to.
I want to congratulate us.
I had a bottle of champagne in here or something. What the heck?
For getting to this point. And thank you guys for listening and coming with us on this weird, wonderful journey, which has been a lot of fun. We'll see you for season 3.
What's season 3 about?
I don't know. That is remains to be seen.
All right, so get at us on Twitter. What should season 3 be about? Wachowski siblings movies, Regina King movies. It's wide open. And you know, may I say that I have enjoyed coming out to your lavishly appointed podcasting studio every week or so and getting into it about a Keanu Reeves film that we don't have not always agreed on.
I know. This has been really fun. And I very much appreciate all the money that you've been spending on Ubers to get here.
And of course, the biggest shout out of all to Mr. Keanu Reeves, who has taken many digs in the course of this podcast, but without whom none of this would be possible.
No, and we truly appreciate it. So, all right, that's a wrap.
We have enjoyed interrogating the dark heart of the American dream with you, our listeners, and you, Mr. Keanu Reeves, wherever you are out there. Good night and good luck.